is the writer of this Bible. He didn't physically write it down in this book. Men did that. But he gave them inspiration to write down what he wanted down. And so here in Psalms 138, David writes down, 2, I will worship toward thy holy and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So here in the Bible, God, Jesus Christ, deals with mankind and Satan. And as a matter of fact, he was manifest in the flesh for the purpose of. So Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man some 1900 and something years ago, talked to men, the 12 apostles at first, and then later on he talked to Saul, and then later on Paul, by revelation from heaven. He didn't come down and walk on the earth and talk to Paul. He talked to him by revelation from heaven. So, again, the writers of the Bible wrote down words, and words is what we're concerned about. So, everything we read, written down in Romans 15, verse 40 next, everything we read is written down. You can read it on a TV screen sometimes. You read it on the computer like you folks are doing this. But it's written down in the book. Before we were alive, none of it, we didn't see anybody write it down. We're taking it by faith, and we believe it by faith, and that's how it is. I believe it wholeheartedly, exactly as it's written down. I go by commas and periods and spaces and words like and if and of and so forth. But in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says that for whatsoever things were written when, aforetime, for us. Paul wrote that down too. There were things written before he wrote things down. All that Old Testament business. Aforetime were written for our what? Learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have what? Hope. So, we have a hope that the Lord gives us because of what He's written. He wrote down what? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, Christ, that He died according to the Scripture. For what? Our sins. What? 8 and 9? It says, for by grace are we saved through faith ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. So the point is, He's given us this free gift of salvation through His Word. Father's Word, Jesus Christ, has given us a path of salvation. Well, John chapter 5, let's go back there and look at that. 1 John chapter 5. This is the only place in the Bible that you're going to see that it is written down that there are three, commonly called the Trinity. The word Trinity is not in this Bible. But here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it says something about that. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That Word, Jesus Christ. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And they're all. They all operate in different things in our lives, but they're all the same. In John, let's go to John chapter 1 and see what was written down back there about the Word. In John chapter 1, he is describing here the Word. And let's see what it says. Verse 1 was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was. So if it's in the beginning, then something happened in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, it's what? In the beginning, God created. How did He create? By the Word He created. And it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made. That's everything. All things. All things were made. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. So the point is here that Jesus Christ, the Word, spoke words. If we were to go back to Genesis chapter 1, we could see words spoken. God said this and God said that, and things happened. Well, He created by His Word. He created things. He created mankind. Well, if we go back, let's just go back to Genesis chapter 1. Sorry about this, right in front. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, we need a joke here and there. I'm not telling too many jokes. I'm just rambling on and on. I'm not a jokester person. I do jokes sometimes, but I don't tell jokes very well. My running bicycle partner, Dick Mallory, we razz each other quite a bit, and there's quite a bit of joking going on. We don't tell jokes amongst each other. We just have and razz each other. So, and back to the Word here. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, well, what do we say this morning? We're talking words. We're saying words. He says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything. So God created man, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said, here He said something. Well, you talk with words. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over that moveth upon the earth. And in verse 29, God said, and so forth and so on. So the words that God created mankind, He created the earth, He created animals and so forth. In chapter 2, let's look at verse 7 real quick here. Something called the Gospel of Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. It shows us here that the Word of truth that we just talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is the gospel of your salvation. In verse 12, Ephesians 1:12, that we, the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your soul, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with us, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of His glory. So the point of it is the word of truth is the gospel of our salvation, which we just talked about a while ago, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day. That word of truth is written down in this book. And He says to rightly divide. Let's go to Matthew chapter. Jesus Christ has written down here something for us to read about His word. In Matthew chapter 24. Verse 35. In 24:35, it's in your red letter edition of the Bible. Jesus Christ here is talking, and He says this in verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. It hasn't yet, but it's going to. That's prophecy. But my words shall. What do they do? He magnified word above His name. His words will not pass away. What does that mean? As a matter of fact, as forever, go back to Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, there's something written down about His word. The fact that His words are forever. In Isaiah 40, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Well, what's the mouth of the word of the Lord speak? It speaks words. The voice said, cry, and He said, cry. All flesh. Flesh, that's us. We're grass here in this story here. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. It doesn't last very long, does it? It withers, faded. Those blue bonnets down the street here, which started about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, not really great. Well, they're starting to fade away. pretty soon, if we have a normal summer here, in about August, the grass is going to what? And dry up and turn brown here. We've many times in Texas here, we have a brown summer. Not a green one like up north. We have a brown one. Anyway, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon. Surely the people is grass. So the Lord knows we're going to what? Wither and fade and so forth. And then he says in verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but what? The word of our God shall stand. We just read that in Isaiah. So the Lord has put down his word forever. Wouldn't you like to have a Bible that is perfect? I do. So if the Lord would tell one in this book, you couldn't trust it. If one of your buddy or one of your friends tells you a lie about something, and you discover that lie, you've got a little bit of distrust about that person. Well, the Lord says he cannot lie. He cannot. And I'm glad he said that. So I want to turn to Titus chapter 1 and show us here about the Lord, what he says about that. And it's in a verse about eternal life. In Titus chapter 1 verse 2, he says, in hope of what? Eternal life. We look for eternal life. Only everyone listening out here is saved, because if you're not, this is the hope you have is of eternal life, which God, what? That cannot lie. He cannot lie. Aren't you glad he cannot lie? There's nothing false in it. The entire thing is correct. The entire book, Titus chapter 1, and all the rest of the verses are correct. There's not a lie in it. It's all the truth. So he says, in hope of eternal, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world. So before the world began, he promised what? Eternal life through Paul's gospel. Paul preached the cross of Christ. Well, it's not a lie, it's the truth. He called it the word of truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, rightly divine the word of truth. Chapter of Ephesians 12 and 13, he called it what? The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, of our salvation. So the point is, we have a gospel that is the truth. You cannot argue with the point that it's the truth, because he's right here that God cannot lie. So Paul wrote down to Titus here that God cannot lie. So everything that was written aforetime, what sort of things were written aforetime, or what? Our learning that we should comfort the scriptures might have hope. You can take it to the bank. It's our hope. Jesus Christ, through his word, is our hope. It's all complete. It's all correct. Fudge one bit. Not only did he tell people to write, other guys to write stuff down, he told Jeremiah, and let's go to chapter 36 of Jeremiah. There he tells him to write something down in a scroll, on a scroll. So Jeremiah, right after Isaiah, Jeremiah 36. Here in Jeremiah, he gives him a to write in a book, to write words down, to reveal something. In Jeremiah 36, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in the 14th, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto the Lord, saying, telling Jeremiah something here. And write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations. From the day I spake unto the days of Josiah, even, he tells them, write down words. And where does he write down? A roll of a book. They normally used to call that what? Scroll, right? Scrolls were used a long time ago, not a folded book with thousands of pages in it, but rolled up, just like you look at a map, an old map on a table or on a wall somewhere. You take it and you fold it up, you crease it after a while, but if you roll it over and over without destroying the making creases, they rolled it so that that roll became a scroll. And that scroll, in this case here, roll of a book, Jesus Christ, the Word, told. And right there, all the words he spoke in it. So he did. Well, Paul wrote down some things too. So let's go back to first, see what he says about us. He says, I have not seen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start. I have not seen. So unless you're saved, and unless you, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But God had the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit to witness, but if you don't study, you don't figure. Studying is what even. So study all the time. I know I'm guilty of not studying all the time. It's a good way to relax. I'll pick up the book and study it. For what man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We compare verses with verses. We rightly divide the world, which word of truth, which gospel we're supposed to abide by and be saved by, that gospel of Christ. Okay, that's good. Through the Holy Ghost, he teaches us by comparing Scripture. Spiritual things with spiritual. What? Words that are written down in verses, that are written down in chapters, that are written down in books, that are written down in this book. So the point is, he guides us, helps us along. So, it comes by revelation to us just by reading. When I first started studying, I discovered Colossians chapter 3. Let's just go there for a second. I heard about the rapture and everything, and then someone preached the rapture to us or whatever it was in the class. I came across this here. And I had a big wow experience. It says in verse 1, if we are, seek those things where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him. That's really something. To realize, as it says, Thessalonians chapter 4, where here we are, words are comforting. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. And how did Paul get these? Of course, long ago we talked about something called on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared unto Paul as a bright light. Revelation. Just like it was a revelation to me when I discovered Colossians chapter 3 verses. Revelation to me to see that we're going to appear Lord. That same glory that Paul saw on the road. He says something about when I certified that the gospel which was preached person, he did not get it, for I need to receive it of that revelation. And he says he certifies it. It's guaranteed. God had Paul write down words. It says he cannot lie. And he says here that in chapter 3, he says he was right. He wrote. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus, have heard of the dispensation of the great God, which is given me to come to us. And how that by revelation, see, skip down to verse 5. This is the definition. Which in other ages we know unto the sons of men. And what? His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here's the Gentiles, that's us, should be fellow heirs and of the same body of his promise. And he says, as I wrote before in verse. So this mystery, this few words, whereby when you read, so the mystery of Christ was written. Few words describe the mystery, and it says that what? Inheritance also. Not just in the proselytes that are blessed, but us Gentiles, us lowly Gentiles here, sitting watching the computer this morning, wherever you are, Illinois or Indiana or wherever, Ohio, you are what? A fellow heir by His promise in Christ. Well, we have this gospel, and through it, if you are saved, you have it, and He cannot lie about it, that you are heir. That you have an heir, I mean, guaranteed. You can't lose it or anything like that. It's there for, and you'll receive it forever. Chapter 2, some more to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, else. Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16, we're talking about the Scripture here. All Scripture. Everything that's written down. All. A-L-L. Little words mean a lot. All means a lot. It means everything. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You want to know that Jeremiah was told by Christ to write something down, and that's by the inspiration of God. It says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and direction for instruction in righteousness. So all Scripture, everything. Now, we can go back and read in Hebrews and so forth. That's prophecy that has not occurred yet. It does not apply to us. Oh, we can read it and study it and find out about the things that are going to happen. Well, those things were written down aforetime for our learning. We don't have the same hope as those Hebrews. Israel is looking for land. The 12 apostles are looking for a city. It's where we're going to reside someday. The Lord's heaven is where we possess it, but we haven't got there yet. The point is, we're going to heaven and someone else will be in the city. So those words have been inspired. And it says all Scriptures are inspired. Back in Hebrews, this is not written to us. Who's to say it's written to? Pardon? Hebrews, right? Let's see. What did I say in Hebrews? I didn't say which chapter. Chapter 4, excuse me. The writer of Hebrews says something here about the Lord's Word. We've said this before. We say it. You hear people saying this. It says in chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of them. So the point is, the word is as sharp as a two-edged sword. It goes right to the quick. It cuts right to the point. It just does not fool around. When Paul says that you can be saved by the gospel, the word of God is powerful than any two-edged sword. Go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The power of God is sharper than what? Any two-edged sword. In Romans 1, 16. Verse 15, so it says, so as much as any, and then he says, for I'm not ashamed of God, of the salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So the point is, it's the power of God. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts it to the quick. You either take it or you don't. If you leave it, you're lost. It's as quickly as He'll save you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and let's read about that power of God. Verse 17, it says here in it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. So if we were to, that you must do something as opposed to just accept the free gift of grace. So he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize with words, lest the cross of Christ should be. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, but unto us which are saved, it is He. It's the power of God, everyone that believes Greek. That's how you get saved. By the words of the preaching of the cross, not with wisdom of words. Let's go back to John chapter 6. I don't believe. In John chapter 6, about his words. John chapter 6, verse 63. He says something here again about his words. Verse 63. It says, it is the Spirit that quickens. There's a colon that says, the word. So whatever the words that the Lord has spoken unto us, they're our life and they're our spirit. We are alive because of the words of Jesus Christ. So they are what? Spirit. So the point is, God through His words, and He was spoken by the Word, we're alive. A while ago I kind of hinted at the fact that some people, and let's go to Galatians chapter 1 and see what the Lord thinks about that, and just do that. Galatians chapter 1. He's not very happy about the whole thing. As a matter of fact, he's so unhappy about it that he had Paul write it down two times in Galatians chapter 1. These people here, so if the verse or the gospel has been perverted and has put his wisdom into a verse, or the gospel in this case, the power of God has been erased. Paul, he gospel to us in not by the wisdom of men. So if man sticks his wisdom in the gospel, it's perverted and it no longer has any power. You can't get saved by it. Preacher somewhere in a church and they're adding to it. But though we lost. Verse 9. And as we said before, verse 8, so say I now again. If any, because he has nullified, he has ruined it. He has muddied the waters. He has confused people. The hearers might not know any better. Everybody that watches TV, what they should do to get saved and what they should do, they are perverting the gospel of Christ. They are putting their wisdom into it and telling you that you must do this or do that in order to be saved. Well, they've taken the power out of it. The Lord wants nothing to do. You cannot pervert it. If you pervert it, it's gone. It's just like we read a while ago in John 6:63. There's no more spirit. There's no more life in it. It's dead. The gospel that's perverted is a dead. No mouse. No more. Kind man. Anyway, the gospel. Well, Satan does. That's his deal. If he perverts the gospel, what happens? You know, a woman preaching nowadays to a bunch of people, thousands in some church, if they're using the wrong words, it's perverted. It has no power. It's ruined it. The people can't get saved. It's impossible. Because it's not God's. He's not putting his... It's not sealed. It's Satan's work. Well, Satan is working against... From day one, he's worked against... God is not the author of that confusion. Instead of just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, they think they've got to go... Made tamales for the church to sell on Saturdays, and likewise other folk did a lot of stuff for their salvation. There's no power in that work. There's no power in what they were doing. The only thing that pop tamale does is it fills your belly. It can't save you. Or the blessing of it, or whatever you happen to call it, cannot save you because it's perverted. He says it right here in Galatians. That's a while ago that God does not create confusion. So let's read it in reverse. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He actually says it, that he does not create confusion. That leaves somebody else to create confusion. That means Satan's creating confusion. Making these tamales every week. They were confused. They were under bondage. Did not understand their true salvation. We quoted a while ago in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved of God, not of works. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. For God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. All churches are the same. He's not the author of confusion. So if we were to go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I'll quote it to you if I don't stumble, but Romans 5, 1, it says, Therefore being justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just read that God is not the author of confusion, but a peace, as in all churches of the saints. So what's He give us? He gives us peace. We are guaranteed peace. And in verse 11 it says that not only so, but we also joy in God, Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So we've been atoned for. The Lord has made us atoned. He has atoned at 1 month with God. In other words, we're with God already. You've already got it. Some gospels, they don't got it yet. It's already guaranteed. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We've got it already wrapped up. So from that, I've got peace through His words. And I got saved was a week about the rapture of the church. Jerry Lockhart had a Bible. What was that place that Mike? Right? Spring Branch. What was it called? Singing Hills? Anyway, Brother Moore and Steve Adler were there, and I think who's the tall, lanky guy?
Oh, E.C. Moore.
Can't help E.C. Moore.
Nolan Butler.
He, all three of them, and I think Jerry did a little bit of preaching. He did mostly and monitoring and so forth. He did do some preaching, but it seemed like the whole week I was preached to was about the rapture, and I was convinced that I was not. I finally realized I wasn't. When you get lost, when you finally realize that you're lost, there is not a piece, a bit of peace, and it's, believe me, it was terrible. And a week later, I trust the Lord as my Savior, and I had peace. And then I realized, you know, being justified by the faith of Jesus, I had peace with the Lord. I have nothing to worry about. He, my goodness, what a simple thing that was hard. It took me a whole week. I was really, I didn't understand what it tore me up. But finally, I was a lunkhead. And finally came, the Word of God finally beat me on the head. It's a wonderful peace knowing where you're headed and knowing that the Lord's not going to burn you up. So, whatsoever things were written, were written. So, folks, this morning, I hope that you learned that everything was written down. It's already written down. It's all the words. And those words are our salvation. That's a primary thing. Because the will of God is that all men come out in a big space and that makes being saved first, but the truth second. Anyway, thank you very much.